The title is Stumbling Block. And what I found interesting when I researched the term stumbling block, it's not very much used in society today. In the 1800s, stumbling block was used a lot. But it's a term that's gone out of vogue, if you will. Other terms have come in. But a stumbling block is a circumstance that causes difficulty or hesitation. Shyness would be an example of a stumbling block. Somebody won't do something because they're too shy. They don't want to get out of their comfort. If you would join me, we go to God. Merciful, loving, kind God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we thank you for your love, for young life, for life well lived. God, the blessing that you have for each one of us is unlimited. And there are so many things in life that creates or we allow to be a stumbling block. And I just ask that you would take this message, God, that you would speak it, that you would share what you have for each one of us, that we can personally hear what you have. God, I just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are meant to be reflections of God's image. As we go through each day, there's days that God, don't let people see this image. It's not, this isn't what we had planned. But so often, that's the case. Jesus Christ is the image we reflect by the Spirit. The Spirit is who gives us that to us, and we respond to him in faith. In John 14, 1 through 14, Jesus told his disciples that he was going home to his Father to prepare a place for them. And I think each one of us probably has a picture or a concept in your mind. Possibly, Jesus meant that he was creating a place for us within the life and the love of the Father and Son and the Spirit. Not necessarily a physical place. Now, I don't know, it doesn't give details, but does this concept create a stumbling block because it doesn't fit the narrative of how you pictured this to be? And that, again, is something very real for people, that this isn't how I understood or how I've got it pictured. It can become a stumbling block for some. Our response to Jesus Christ and our belief in the truth about God and ourselves is reflected by how we live our lives. Do we experience stumbling blocks in following Jesus? I do. And that isn't the way I understand it. That isn't the way I was taught. Okay, maybe I was taught wrong. Maybe there's a different way of looking at things, much like preparing a place for us. In Acts 7, 55 through 60, we read the story of Stephen, an early Christian martyr. And I think many are familiar with it. If not, I will try and highlight a little of it. Stephen shared with the religious leaders of his day who Jesus Christ is. He painted a really good narrative. He told them who Jesus was. He was a glorified human who was standing at the right hand of God in glory. Whoops, that didn't go over well. When you first heard that Jesus was standing at the right hand of God in glory as a human, did it create a little bit of a stumbling block? I had to work through that. I'll be real honest. That wasn't something that I pictured Jesus as a human, as a glorified human, but nonetheless, fully God, fully man. Maybe you got that right off. I didn't. But I see and I believe and I trust in that now, but that's only through the faith of trusting in God. Those religious leaders could not and would not believe the truth about who Jesus Christ was. Is Jesus too good to be true? Does Jesus fit our narrative of who he is as a glorified man, glorified God? Is that something you struggle with? I don't know. There was a time I did a lot. They could not get past the stumbling block of who Jesus Christ was, the God-man. And there are many people on this earth, Christians, that can't wrap their mind around this, that Jesus is fully God and fully man. Those religious leaders could not see the truth of who Jesus was, and therefore they could not see who they were as God's beloved children. If you can't picture who Jesus is, how do you picture who you are? Because it's all intertwined in who Jesus is, what he did for us to give us the opportunities. Those religious leaders, this is what they did. They stoned Stephen to death. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of what that is like. It's pretty gruesome, and it's not an easy way to die. And the estimate of time was anywhere from 20 minutes to 2 hours to achieve death. Rarely did someone escape with their life from a stoning. Paul did, but it was rare, and it was an ugly, terrible way to die. But that's what they did. They could not accept who Jesus was, and Stephen was there telling them, and they would not. So let's kill the messenger, is what they did. Do we reject what we don't see or understand? And that's something that each one of us has to wrestle with. If we don't grasp something, do we just reject it automatically? Or do we kind of revisit that from time to time, listening for different voices from other people that maybe help us? Maybe sometimes we seek an answer by talking to a friend. When it comes to Jesus Christ, there can be no middle ground. We are called to faith, to trust him, and to believe in him. What he says is what carries us. That's who we are. We are to surrender ourselves to him. And that's not always the easiest thing to do. But it's the thing that gets us forward, that love of Jesus in us. And it's something that we share outward with other people. Today's scriptures, and we'll go through some of those again. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Instead, like a newborn baby, desire the pure milk of the word. Which one haven't been around a newborn baby? And when they're hungry, you know it. There's no question. They let you know they're hungry, and they desire. They want to be fed. Do we desire to be fed from the word? What Jesus is sharing in our life, is that something that we desire, much like this newborn? Nourished by it, you will grow into salvation. Since you have tasted the Lord is good, now you are coming to him as a living stone. Even though this stone was rejected by humans, from God's perspective, it is chosen, valuable. But Jesus was rejected. He was killed. People didn't like what he stood for, what he was saying, what his narrative was. Verse 5, you yourself are being built like living stones into a spiritual temple. You are being made into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Tells us what we're involved in. Peter is telling us that as Christians, we should crave what we need for our spiritual growth. We need to be craving a deeper spiritual life. And here's the caveat. Here's the hook. If we're not, that's a warning sign. If we are comfortable right where we are, and we are not desiring anything beyond this with our relationship with Jesus, look at that. Think about that. That may be the warning that says, I need to revisit some things. Don't put off growing in our spiritual life with God. That's the bottom line. Verse 6, thus it is written in Scripture, look, I am laying a cornerstone in Zion, chosen, valuable. The person who believes in him will never be shamed. So God honors you who believe. For those who refuse to believe, though the stone the builders tossed aside has become the capstone. I don't know about you, but I read this in a number of translations. It still reads odd to me. That's just the way Peter wrote this, through the inspiration of God. This is a stone that makes people stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Because they refuse to believe in the word, they stumble. Indeed, this is the end to which they were appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are God's own possession. You have become this people so that you may speak of the wonderful acts of the one who called you out of darkness into this amazing light. Once you weren't a people, but now you are God's people. Once you hadn't received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Our life changed when we accepted Jesus. Our life changed when we desire to follow and listen to him. We have a connection. We are a people of God. Peter draws from Isaiah and Psalms to contrast two approaches. And if you go back, you can read about that. One views Jesus as a precious and beautiful, while the other rejects him as not fit with no purpose. Jesus becomes a stumbling block for them. And as you go through history, Christianity has been a major stumbling block for many people. The story of Jesus has been a major stumbling block because it doesn't fit what people need. Referencing one of the books that I had last week, Positively Irritating. In Europe, New England in the U.S., northwest part of this country, the western part of this country, the concept of Jesus is not important. I don't need him. There's no reason. Going to church is why? We can do other things. But Jesus in that story has become a stumbling block, and they have chosen to ignore. Jesus is the stumbling block for those who do not believe. They stumble and reject the love and the light of God. If you don't see any value in it, why would you do it? If you eliminate the concept or the time to spend time together with others in communion with Jesus, if that has no value to you, you're not going to do it. We know that the light of God is a wonderful thing because we have tasted the goodness of God. Each one can tell stories, if they will, about how good God has been in your life. Has your life been perfect? No. We live in a broken world, and we are a broken people, but we have the love of Jesus Christ in us that makes a huge difference. And much like the stories we heard last week of what a difference one person can make in just sharing life. And we've possibly all experienced that in one form or another. Choosing to reject the gospel without tasting its goodness is refusing to even try and experience its goodness. I was trying to think of an analogy, something that might work. And we all like food. We all like to eat. And we all eat, sometimes not everything we should. But if someone brings fresh baked goods of some form or another and says, here, you need to try this. I don't like bread. I don't like cakes. And you refused to taste. Did you lose? Did the person giving it to you lose? No. You lost out. When someone is talking and experiencing Jesus Christ in your life, and you say, I don't need that, you didn't even give it a chance. Much like, I don't like that. I don't like baked goods. There's too many carbs. And you never experience what maybe would have been something you would have enjoyed, maybe more than you should have. Those are the kind of things that we need to think about. Rejecting without trying of Jesus Christ, how empty that could be, how difficult it would be for someone to pass that up, and you get to watch them walk away. Let's look at verse 10 again and glean some of the highlights. This is 1 Peter 2 and verse 10. It says, you are a chosen race or people, depending on the translation. Peter is saying that Christians are a chosen group of people who are different from others, who stumble and obey the message. Did you get that? They didn't walk perfectly. They stumbled along. Which one of you in here is perfect? And please don't raise your hand. We all struggle, but we are chosen by Jesus. We experience life with him. You are a royal priesthood. We are sanctified, set aside as God's special people to serve him. That's what we get to do. This isn't necessarily an assignment, but it's a life experience, a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. We are holy because we've been set aside by God. It's nothing we did. If we don't live like it, we are betraying our identity. We fall short of who God has called us to be. And there are days that is reality. And you go to bed at night and you just think, today wasn't my best day. But on the other hand, there may be another time that you may still think, no, it wasn't my best day, but God used whatever happened that day and touched someone's life. And you may or may not know that event. But it's living within the framework or the pattern of Jesus Christ loving you. You are God's special possession. Each one of us probably has some possession that is very special to us. It's something that has a tremendous amount of not necessarily physical value, but emotional. We are God's special possession, and we'll talk about the cost for him to get to that point for us when we get to the Lord's Supper. We have been bought at a price from 1 Corinthians 6:20 with the blood of Jesus, 1 Peter 1:18 or 19. We belong to God, cherished and loved, chosen by God. When you get up in the morning and you step out of bed, you think, I am chosen by God. This is his day that I'm going to walk in. Not so much for me. I don't do that on a daily basis. But when I do, when we think about God, this is your day, and you're giving me another day to live. This day is one that you direct the paths. Help me see what you have for me to do. Let me be who you want me to be. The fact that we have been able to accept Christ rather than stumble over him is enough to be sure that we have become part of God's chosen and precious people. By accepting Jesus in our life proves that we are part of his chosen people. We live a life in him because of his love for us. We are God's people, sanctified by God, chosen by God, and loved by God. That's a pretty good lineage. We are his priesthood, his nation, his people, and his possession. Our lives are wrapped up in Jesus. This is our identity. That's who we are. As we come for the communion, the Lord's Supper, from 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 17, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. The church is referred to as a body, one body, because there are many members who have different functions, and God has no respect for one person over another in the body. So the idea that Paul is teaching to the Corinthians is that there is one bread, and he is the bread of life, Jesus Christ. But there are many members of his body, and that there is no least member of that body. There's no least member in here. Even though many members, we have all received the one true bread that is from heaven, from John 6. This bread brings eternal life for all who believe and give life to the body, both corporately and individually. That's our connection to Jesus. He gave of himself his body and his blood, represented by the elements on the table for us. So as we live each day and we recognize that Jesus, the God-man, is at the throne, the right hand of his Father, and he has chosen us and he has paid the price for us to attain that status with him, to be in his family, to be in the body of the church, the body of God. As we pause to think about these elements, the magnitude of what it took to give up, to pay the price, if you would join me in prayer. Father God, again, as we come before you, we thank you for the Spirit that moves in our lives and for Jesus that loves us, that has went through and suffered and died and is now resurrected with you. And we look forward to the time that we will be together, united. But as we come to you in this communion this morning, we thank you for the broken bread representing Jesus' body, for the shed blood representing his life poured out for us. God, I just praise you and I thank you. I ask that you would bless these elements, that you would be with each one, that we can not have stumbling blocks as that applies to you, to Jesus. But God, we can live with your glory living in us. We just praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Again, as we've said many times, all are welcome at the table. God loves each one. Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for our time together, and we thank you that you have taken us out of the darkness into your wonderful light. We ask that you help us to reflect that light to others this week, showing your love. Amen. And finally, from Jude 24 and 25, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Have a great week.